The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to thank all of you as I look out and I see you here, and I know there's those online that are here. They don't need to be online. Nobody's taking a checklist whether they're online, watching on live stream. But I want to thank all of you for being here, for your witness. What you are witnesses to is a hunger. Is a hunger that's deep within the recesses of all our hearts. A hunger to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. We are here. We are here because whether we know or not, whether someone just kind of dragged us here, I don't know, but deep within the recesses of our heart, in the heart of every single human being walking this earth, is a hunger. Is a desire for food. Food for the journey. You see, there's a lot of people that could be out there feeding themselves, trying to feed themselves and find strength through food in the areas of power, food in the areas of wealth, food in the areas of countless other things, trying to feed themselves on the things that the world offers, but they remain hungry. They're dedicating their time to things that are just trying to grab it all in, get in, and feed themselves with it. And it's no coincidence that when you pick up your smartphone, as they call it, a smartphone, I don't know how smart those phones are, but feeding. I'm feeding. There's a hunger. But you see, what we all hunger for was we hunger for life. Everlasting life. To live forever. Think of the root of what we've been through all this past year and everything. And I got it. It's real. Things we need to be concerned of. Our loved ones and everything. But what's moving everybody? Because everybody wants to live forever. They want to live forever. They're afraid to die. But we know as followers of Jesus Christ that if we die, it's not an end. It's a change. But it's fearful because we don't know what it's about to be born into eternal life. To have a God that loves us and loves every single human being walking this earth so very much that he left his divine status and became like us in all things but sin to feed us. To show us the way back to the Father's house. To show us where we're all going. Last night, a little special blessing for those college students. I'm sure there's a few in the pew. They're getting ready to jet. Some of them to other states far away to go for another year of school. There's an unknown. That's where you're going, but that's not where you're really going. You and all of us, we are in a trajectory which we will not be able to stop. There's two certainties in life. One has already happened. We have been born and we have life. The second certainty in life is this life is going to come to an end and we will enter into the next life. And our beloved Lord will not force his love on us or force life on us. Come on, Father, really? Yeah, look at him crucified. He could have forced it on everybody at the foot of the cross and said, you better believe in me. In John 6, the Bread of Life discourse, and we're going to continue with that in the next couple weeks, he could have forced, listen, nobody turned to Peter later on. He says, you going to leave me too? Because I'm not changing this. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood to have life in you. I want to feed you, Peter. To whom shall we go? He said, you have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? Food for the journey, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know about you, but I kind of identify a little bit with Elijah in that first reading. Sitting under that broom tree. Just about done. Physically worn out. Mentally worn out. And he's like, just take me, Lord. Right? I mean, I love being here. Don't take it the wrong way. I love y'all, okay? It's all for Jesus, you know? All the masks I got for that, it's all for Jesus. I love y'all. Why? Because Jesus loves you. We get purpose in our life. A purpose-driven life versus a goal-driven or a milestone-driven life. A purpose-driven life is to try to, each one of us, to the best of our ability, right, get food for the journey so that we can love Jesus and love what Jesus loves and our life will be fulfilled. St. Paul's speaking about that in the second reading. He's like, go ahead. Keep filling yourself on that gossip. Keep filling yourself on that negativity. Keep filling yourself on the way the world kind of acts and just get on that nice little lazy river because that's what everybody else is doing. Popular thing to do. It's not just the teenagers. Don't point the fingers at teenagers. Us adults can fall in that too. Get on that nice little comfortable lazy I'm in it river. Float on down, go on away, and just kind of go with what everybody else is saying. Let me get my cafeteria Catholicism, my cafeteria Christianity. I'll take a little this, take a little that, but that's good enough. No, 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 I don't want that on my salad. I don't want that on my food. What do you mean? A little suffering, a little sacrifice? A little example I got to give out there in the world? I don't want that in my food. I don't want to eat that food. Jesus, read John's gospel. I'm sure you have, but read John chapter 4. It precedes the one we're in now. You see, because it's the fullness of sacred scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, where the sacred art of Jesus, like a window, opens up to us, and we come to know our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, who loves us and loves the whole world. And in John chapter 4, right? In John chapter 4, he goes and he meets the woman at the well. Y'all know the story. Middle of the day. She was cast out, pushed aside, had to come in the middle of the day for the embarrassment of the life that she was living. And Jesus meets her in her thirst and in her hunger. And he could have snapped his fingers but didn't, because he was like us in all things but sin. He identifies with our hunger. He identifies with our suffering. He chose not to get the water himself. And he turned to her and he asked her, woman, give me a drink. She said, who are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink? You don't even have a sister. Jesus said, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. He'd give you the Holy Spirit. He'd shower down the gift of God, his love, that would quench that thirst that you're longing deep down in your heart and you're trying to find in other things. You're trying to feed yourself in other things and you're not happy, and I know it, and I am here and I came down because I love you. I love you. And Jesus thirsts for her as he thirsts for us. As he cried out from the cross, I thirst, and they offered him something, he didn't take it because he thirsts for souls. He's thirsting for the young adult in Charlotte right now who's sitting in their apartment right now after all night living in a way that they know is not fulfilling them, trying to feed themselves, and they're hurting and they're looking for answers. He's thirsting for the senior that's in her independent living or his independent living and feels alone. He's thirsting for that soul. And he wants to feed us so we can go out and feed them. I thirst. I hunger. You know, the apostles come back and you're like, Father, you're talking about the woman at the well. This story's Bread of Life Discourse. It's all interconnected to know our Lord. The apostles come back and they're like, hey, we just got some food and all that stuff here. He goes, I got food to eat that you do not know of. My food is to do the will of the Heavenly Father. You want to be fed? You want to be satisfied just like Elijah? To let Jesus feed you so you can get up and continue your journey so that you can walk and be strong. And that's what brings you and I here, that deep longing like Elijah, where we just want to quit. We want to get up. That deep longing that we may experience in our communities, in our places of work, in the world. The negativity, all the stuff, the slashing, the bashing, the gossip. Somebody once said, you're in a conversation with a bunch of people, like St. Paul's talking, and they're throwing somebody under the bus at work, right? You know those situations around the water cooler? Everybody's just taking that person, throwing them under the bus. The quickest way to stop that is just to look at the person who's driving that train and to say to them, that's interesting you would say that about him or her. I've never heard him or her say that about you. Boom. That'll stop that. It may fuel that. Because they're actually hungering for something. Food for the journey. This bread of life in the living word of God, we're hungry for that. The world's hungry for that. The first Christians in 304 AD in the northern part of Africa, where St. Augustine was from, there were 49 Christians in a home. And it was under the Emperor Diocletian. And they sent the Romans there, pulled them out of the home, grown adults, men and women, and children, asked them what they're doing, and they said, we are celebrating the day of the sun, Sunday. They said, that's illegal. And they said, without the Eucharist, we would die. All 49 of those Christians went to their death. They laid down their life for Christ. They knew how much they needed in their moments of suffering, in their moment of famine, in their moment of hunger. They knew that they needed a Lord, and they knew they needed a life, and they gave witness, the ultimate witness. I pray that we might not have, we don't have to do that. But there may be those daily pricks of martyrdom. The daily pricks that come in the home with you saintly parents. You mothers and fathers fathering your children. The waking up in the middle of the night to change some diapers or to a child asleep needing some attention. Getting ready for another school year, uncertainty about when it may come. But walking out and stepping out in faith. You seniors that are in your independent living and you're there and you feel alone and you missed your loved one and you miss those who've been close to you, maybe your family's far away, and you desire and you hunger for life with your friends that are with you. Jesus comes, never abandons, and he comes to feed us. Food for the journey. Here's a question for each one of our hearts. What feeds me? What feeds me on a daily basis? All of you are here, myself included, here to be fed by the living word of God, here to be fed by Jesus in the Eucharist. If you haven't made your first Holy Communion, a spiritual communion, he can come into your heart and feed you and fill you with the joy and the peace. That's 1 hour a week. Imagine if we only had 1 hour a week where we ate. One meal a week. Probably some people in the world would go through that. One meal. Would I be able to make it through the rest of the week? How am I fed during the week? All of us, in peace and serenity, it's an invitation to take a look at how we use the time we're given in a week. Where we dedicate our time is where we seek to feed ourselves. How much time do I dedicate? And it's not all bad. There's some good stuff. We have formed different programs you can go to online. But how many hours a week do I dedicate to social media, the internet, and all that other stuff? And my niece corrected me on this. She's 27 years old. She said, Uncle Richard, stop slamming the young people for the use of their technology. Stop slamming them. Speak to their desire. They're feeding themselves, and we find ourselves feeding ourselves because we have a desire, we have a hunger. But how much time, honestly, do I spend connected, plugged in? How many hours? I invite you, write those down this week. How many hours a week do I spend either in paper or online or on TV immersed in the daily news or the nightly news? If you're lacking peace right now, if you're lacking joy right now, if there's a hunger in you, if there's something, look at how many hours a week you spend in front of that TV. I got to do the same thing. If we feed ourselves with what's being fed out there, the popular opinion, all that other stuff, instead of feeding ourselves on the good news of Jesus Christ, our mind and our heart and even our physical, we're going to feel weighed down and depressed and everything because we're feeding ourselves on junk food. On junk food. Or with technology, we're feeding ourselves on comfort food. I feel good. Am I seeking junk food or comfort food? Or the food that gives me life? How much time do I spend? Put it out there. It's summertime. I've been so excited to see a lot of families having vacation. It's awesome. So many families came back and said, Father, it's so awesome. We had meals together. We got unplugged. One mom was like, I take my kids every year. We go off to the mountains. No connectivity. We jump in the lake. We clean up in the lake. And we do all that stuff. And there's like nothing. It's just, play board games at night. So refreshing. How much time am I programming or planning for this fall to race around like a frantic family? I put in the bulletin, you want to read a book, 3 big questions for the frantic family. It's not negative. It's to assist of how frantic is my life? How much am I chasing this and that and that and that to feed me, thinking that I'll be fed? And a lot of times what happens is we focus a lot on our physical. Got to have an hour. I like going to the gym, okay, running. Got to get my workout in. Got to have this. Got to eat my organic food and make my smoothie. Got to do all that stuff. So I'm going to feed myself physically. Mentally, intellectually, I got to go to this school, got to get into the school, got to dedicate 2, 3 hours, 4 hours to homework for what? So I can get into that university for what? So I can get this job for what? So I can do the next thing. And we feed ourselves on that, not all bad. But then spiritual, we feed ourselves once a week, 1 hour. And we're hungry. I can't answer that question for you. But as we look at the landscape of the church, and we see, and God bless y'all because y'all have suffered because the clergy and the bishops and the priests and all that, and I'm not knocking anyone, but we have failed you in different ways because we haven't gone to be properly fed. Pray for your priests, pray for your bishops, that we go before Jesus in the Eucharist, that we spend our time in prayer, that we open the living word of God, that we pray our breviary, and we feed ourselves on those things because we're no different than y'all. We're made up of the same humanity, and we can fall into sin, but we can really cover up real good in what we wear, in what we say, and what we do. And y'all have seen that. A lot of times people are like, the scandals, Father. I've lived it since 1999. I've walked the street of as a seminarian. I've walked it as a priest. Does it hurt me? Heck yeah, and it hurts my brother priest too. But you know what? It urges us on to seek the right food. That we're broken. It moves me, and I'm not telling you, when there's one finger pointing out, there's 3 pointing back at me, okay? It seeks me to want to go to confession once a week. Why? Because I go into Harris Teeter with a collar on, and I cop an attitude to the person there, or I say something, it impacts not just me, but the whole church. Look at that priest. He's got an attitude. Some may be thinking that right now. He's got an attitude. It's not an attitude. It's a spiritual pep rally. You just get excited. So here it is. Here it is. Okay. Coming in for landing. Closing. Okay? Sometimes we look at the watch and we're like, oh my gosh, I only came here to get fed for an hour. This meal's going on a little longer. and all of a sudden our hunger starts to hunger for the parking lot. I really wish the other day, I wish there were no cars and no parking lots, kind of like in Africa, where the people walk 2-3 hours to get to Mass. Then they spend 3 hours in Mass, and if it's anything less than 3 hours, ask some of our brother priests from Cameroon and Uganda. There ain't a problem with faith over there. They ain't worried about a parking lot. They're sharing their fruit. They're sharing the fruits of their labor, and they're worshiping, and they're loving it. And they're like, is that it? Talk to Father Mike about Haiti. Haiti, we think, let's go down to Haiti. Let's go help the poor people down in Haiti. Let's feed them. Yeah, they need to be fed. But you know what happens when you go on a mission to Haiti, or you go to Nicaragua, or you go to some of these countries suffering? I've been there. You come back on the plane, and they fed you with their faith, with their living, active, and luminous faith. So here you go. We got some opportunities this fall. We got some opportunities. The most important opportunity for all of us is to open our heart to Jesus Christ and let Him feed us. But where do I go to be fed? Can I eat more than 1 hour a week? Can I taste and see the goodness of the Lord more than 1 hour a week? Can I up that ante an extra hour or an extra hour and a half? You want to up it an hour and a half? Tuesdays, Genesis to Jesus. We got a scripture study. No better way to prepare for Christmas than to go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to let the ocean of God's scripture open up to you and encounter Jesus Christ to live the fullness of the Christmas season. Maybe you're sitting out there and saying, Father, you know, my spouse or my parents drag me to Mass. I'm just kind of going through the motions. When I get to a certain age or whatever, I'm done. Boom, I'm gone. When I go to college, I'm done. I've had enough of this faith stuff. It's just been shoved down my throat like a spoon, and I'm done with it. Well, you know what? On behalf of the church, you young people out there, if that's the way it's been, and it's not just your parents, because your parents are pouring out their heart for you. It can be the schools. It can be the environment. It could be whatever. I apologize to you. I apologize to you because you're called to be fed and not force-fed. You're called to be fed in such a way that you can do that in freedom. So if you're struggling with what's the meaning of life, if you're feeling like Elijah under the broom tree saying, I've just about had it, sign up for Alpha. Alpha will touch on some of those mysteries. It's a judge-free zone. It's an opportunity to come in. You may find yourself sitting across from an agnostic or an atheist in the parish, and you're like, what? This person doesn't believe? Or this person does? And it's an opening up, it's a sharing, and it's an encounter with the Holy Spirit and our Lord. Maybe it's family faith formation. Grades 1 through 5. Well, I don't need that. And I'm not picking. I absolutely love Catholic school. I've been a chaplain in Catholic school, but I also know the challenges for Catholic school and the challenges for parents who put their kids in Catholic schools. We're blessed to have awesome principals, awesome teachers, but the best catechists in the world and the best teachers in the world, we cannot drive by and drop off our children and expect that they get fed and we don't replicate that at home. So you want to bring that to home? Family faith formation, step it out, add another hour and a half. It's not going to be a weight on you. It's once a month you come as parents. You come, you get fed as parents while your kids have an experience that is fun, that is dynamic. And then you go home and you bring that around your dinner table. Fathers, and I'm going to close with this. Your children need to see a reflection of their Heavenly Father. You cannot, and I'm not saying you do, but sometimes that's what happens. You cannot delegate that to your wife. You need to lead. You need to walk side by side, as in your marital promises, with your wife, what you said at the baptismal font, with that, and you need journey. You need to be out there leading. Don't be afraid. We want to give you the tools to do that, to feed yourself first in order to feed others. Just like on an airplane. Put your mask on first, and then put the mask on your child. Feed. Food for the journey. My brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be afraid. Jesus comes to feed us. The question is, for each one of us, what is the food for my journey?